This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Father is still not there. The brothers have come. They're asking for more food. Yusuf alayhi salam says, do you know what you did to Yusuf and his brother? And then now there's kind of like a big family reunion. But it's not a complete family reunion. Why? Because the father is not there. So Yusuf says to them, اذهبوا بقميصي هذا. Go with this shirt of mine. فألقوه على وجه أبي. And put it over the face of my father. يأتي بصيراً. And you will see that his sight will come back. وَأْتُونِي بِأَهْلِكُمْ أَجْمَعِينَ. And go and bring all of your family together. And all of your family together doesn't mean that they come from a different side of the family. It's more so that they had gotten married, they had had children, they have wives and all these things. And so Yusuf alayhi salam is telling them that go talk to your family, bring everybody back to me, and let's essentially reunite in the way that we should. Now, the narrations point to the miraculous shirt of Yusuf. That Yusuf alayhi salam is Yusuf in the shirt, basically. Like, you know, so this shirt is what they bring to the father when the wolf like eats him. Okay. It's the same thing that happened to him when he went through the difficulty of what was happening with Zulaykha. You have the shirt is what everybody knew that he was innocent from. And now his father is blind and it's the shirt that essentially heals his father's blindness. So, وَلَمَّا فَصُلَتِ الْعِيرُ, when they departed, they set out to go, the caravan, to go to the father. قَالَ أَبُوهُمْ, then Yaqub alayhi salam said, إِنِّي لَأَجِدُ رِيحَ يُوسُفْ. He says, I see the smell of Yusuf has reached me. Now, normally, if someone like comes into the house, then you're like, oh, it's me. All of them together. He had this very strong feeling. But what we understand is that sometimes we have feelings and we know what Allah wants from us and we know what's going to happen. But when it's not concrete, you still feel like, is it going to happen? Is it? Yes, no, yes, no. But even though deep down you feel like this is happening. But because it's not concrete, all of the cards have not fell into place yet, you still find yourself in a place of like anxiousness. But what do you do with that anxiousness? What you do with that anxiousness is you make dua. And you ask Allah that whatever is best, you ask Allah that whatever is easy, you ask Allah that whatever is meant for you, that it shall not miss you, and that it shall reach you in the best of iman, the best of health, and that you're able to do right by that blessing. Because sometimes we make dua for things that we're not actually ready to take on the responsibility of. And a lot of times, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala not bringing that thing to your life right then in that moment is because Allah does not want to ask you about it on the Day of Judgment. Imagine you get something that you've prayed for and you don't take care of it. Then on the Day of Judgment, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells you, well, I've given you this gift, and what have you done with that gift? Then what is your answer going to be to Allah? Well, Allah, I got the gift and I loved it, but I didn't do anything with it. Then now, all of a sudden, something that was supposed to be a blessing, wa'audhu billah, becomes a means of a person maybe not entering into paradise. So we see here that Yaqub alayhi salam knew, he was confident. He knew what was going to, he knew something was going to happen. He may not have known exactly what, but the moment the move started to move, the moment that thought of Yusuf alayhi salam coming back was there, then Yaqub alayhi salam says that I feel and I can smell the smell of Yusuf. It has reached me. And then he says, Lola antu fanniduni. If only you all wouldn't just call me senile. You're gonna sum it up to me being a crazy man. Qalu, the people in the home, okay, the people in the home, they then respond to him and they say, Tallahi innaka lafi dhalalika al-qadim. They said that you're going crazy. Like you're in your own sense of like being illogical. Falamma anja al-basiru alqahu ala wajhi. Then when they came and they were bearers of good news this time, they didn't come bearing bad news. They came this time bearing good news. They then threw their shirt onto his face. فَرْتَدَّ بَصِيرًا. And his eyesight then came back. قَالَ أَلَمْ أَكُلْ لَكُمْ إِنِّي أَعْلَمُ مِنَ اللَّهِ مَا لَا تَعْلَمُونَ. He then said that, didn't I tell you all that I truly know from Allah what you do not know? Qalu, they then responded and they said, Ya Abana, O our beloved father, istaghfir lana dhunubana, seek forgiveness on our behalf for our sins, inna kunna khati'in, because we were truly amongst those who have done wrong. So now they're seeing this and they're saying, well, you weren't crazy all this time. We just thought you were like the psycho man who just was not paying attention too much. And you just were grieving your son so much that you were not living in reality. And now that the plan has played through and the reality of what has settled, and we're now seeing the outcome of what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has in store, we recognize that actually we're the ones who are wrong. And so they humble themselves and they ask for Yaqub alayhi salam to seek forgiveness for them on their behalf. Now Yaqub alayhi salam, in that moment, his response could have been like, absolutely not. You guys put me through torment of like sadness and grief for the last 25 years of my life. But instead he says, قَالَ سَوْفَ أَسْتَغْفِرُ لَكُمْ رَبِّي, that I will ask forgiveness for you from my Lord. إِنَّهُ هُوَ الْغَفُورُ الرَّحِيمُ, because he is ever so forgiving and ever so merciful. And it's beautiful because the Mufassirun, they then ask questions. They think in a very interesting way because nothing like passes by them. You know, I read certain things, I don't pay attention. I just read, I keep going. Then all of a sudden someone asks a question. I'm like, that's a really good question. Actually, like that should have been a logical question. And so they ask the question that, why does Yaqub alayhi salam say that I will ask forgiveness? Why doesn't he just do it? Right? Because someone says, can you make dua for me? And you're like, yeah, I got you. And as a father, as a parent, you would want to make dua for your child immediately. But why does he make it a point to say, Sawfa astaghfiru lakum, that I will seek forgiveness for you all? Now, there's multiple different narrations that come. Some say that he wanted to wait until the best part of the night, that he wanted to wait until the time where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala comes at the last one third of the night and says, is there any of my servants that need anything? And then if there's anyone awake at that time making dua, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala answers that person's dua. Okay? Others say he wanted to wait till Jum'ah, the time between Asr and Maghrib, because that was the time where du'as are accepted. And those are all very good answers, because you have witnessed your child, or children in his case, do something that has not been great over the last 20-something years. So you want to like expedite your du'a. You know, give them a du'a, give them a time that you're talking between you and Allah that is like prime time, the best time for du'a. While there's another opinion, it's a very slight, like literally like a half a line, that says perhaps maybe he wants to see Yusuf first and make sure that Yusuf's rights has been taken care of, and then he makes dua for them. He would have done it either way, but he would have had to figure out what dua to make. Why? Because there are two rights that we have to maintain. There's your hukukullah, the rights and responsibilities that we have to Allah. But then there is hukukul ibad. There's the rights and responsibilities that we have to the servants of God. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is all forgiving. Yes, he is. He's al-ghafur, al-ghafar. He's al-afu. He's in every single way of forgiving, whether it be water under the bridge, whether it be Allah just completely erasing your sin and you never see it again, causing even you to have forgotten it, or whether it be that Allah is just forgiving in the sense that like it brings you gratitude because you remember what you've done, but you know that God has forgiven you. So in any way, shape, or form that forgiveness can happen, that is who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is, lidhatihi, in his essence. But that's when it comes to the responsibilities that we have to Allah, because he has the right to be that. But remember, we always talk about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to be just, because he is. We always talk about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to be fair, because he is. But in justice and in fairness, if someone wronged me, and my neighbor was like, it's all water under the bridge, I will ask her, who are you? Right? Wa'audhu billah, Allah obviously has every single right of any forgiveness, even when it comes to hukuk al-ibad. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, لَقَدْ كَرَّمْنَا بَنِي آدَمَ. He has made human beings honorable. And in that honorability, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us the ability to be able to stand up for our rights. So when someone has done something to you, or myself, or our brothers and sisters around the world, and it doesn't matter how much Allah has forgiven those people for things that they've done, offenses that they've committed against God, when it comes to the offenses that people have committed against other people, they have to stand for it. So Yaqub alayhi salam shows us a very important lesson on justice. So for him, he's like, when it comes to me and you, we're good. We're absolutely okay. But I need to see Yusuf. And I need to make sure that Yusuf is okay. Why? Because you guys did wrong to Yusuf. Now Yaqub alayhi salam wasn't there when Yusuf alayhi salam said, La tatrib alayka al-yawm. He wasn't there. He wasn't there when that happened. But he still has that thought in his mind because he's a prophet. And prophets have a responsibility to stand up for the rights of people. We were just talking in Surah Al-Kahf. We have a class on Tuesdays, Thursdays? Yeah, one of those days, okay? All the days are the same. I don't know how y'all keep up. People that got different schedules on different days, every day is the same day. We're just living the same day every day, okay? But we're just talking in our Surah Al-Kahf class about Musa alayhi salam accompanying Khidr, and how one of the narrations, what it points to, is that Musa alayhi salam was unable to like take the wisdom, be able to like be quiet while Khidr was doing these things that were like completely abnormal because he was a prophet. So Khidr gets onto a boat, he puts a hole in the boat. Musa alayhi salam is like, أَخَرَقَتَهَا لِتُغْرِكَ أَهْلَهَا. What is wrong with you? You put a hole in it. You want to drown the people? Like, these people gave us a ride. And Khidr is like, didn't I tell you to be quiet? Like, I told you you would not be patient. And Musa alayhi salam is like, okay, it's okay, sorry, I forgot. You know? Then they meet a young boy, and Khidr kills the boy. And Musa alayhi salam is really, now at this point, losing his mind. أَقَتَلْتَ نَفْسًا زَكِيَّةً بِغَيْرِ نَفْسٍ. Are you really going to kill a boy who's like a pure soul, who has not done anything to anyone? لَقَدْ جِتَّ شَيْئًا Nukra, you've done something so strange. It's like out of this world impossible. And then now Khidr tells him, Alam akul laka, didn't I tell to you that you will not be able to be patient? Then Musa alayhi salam says, okay, after this, if I ask you of anything else, then just know that you have an excuse from me between you and God, that you don't have to accompany me anymore. They go to a town, and they're not really from there, and they need some food, they need a place to stay. And Musa alayhi salam and Khidr are there, and Khidr asks, do you guys have a place for us to stay? Can we have some food? They said no. Nope, we have no food for you, we have nowhere for you to stay. They didn't want to host them. But then they see a wall that's like falling down, and Khidr builds the wall, he fixes it up. And Musa alayhi salam says, you know what, if you wanted to take some type of compensation, because they didn't give us food, you could take one. And Khidr turns to him and he says, هَذَا فِرَاقُ بَيْنِي وَبَيْنَكَ. We're done. This is where you and I don't cross paths anymore. But let me tell you about all of the things that you were not able to be patient for. He says, this people that came, the reason why I put a hole in their boat is because there was someone that would, there was a king who used to come and he was oppressive. And he would take all of the nice boats and he would just seize them by force. So if I caused a defect to this boat, he wouldn't want to take it. He says, but as for a young boy, it was not my job. Allah, your Lord, is the one who says that this young man was going to cause his family trouble. So, and it was going to be a type of trouble that wasn't just like, oh, haha, like I was a bad teenager. No, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, tughyanan. He was going to be oppressive and transgressive. And he was going to cause his family so much difficulty that instead Allah took him to Jannah. He took his life as a young kid, took him to Jannah and replaced him with someone better, with another child that the family would be happy with. And then he says, as for the wall, it belonged to two orphans. There was treasures underneath that wall that belonged to two orphans. And if we come into a town that doesn't even want to host guests, can you imagine how they treat their orphans? So imagine the treasure, the inheritance that those two orphans deserved coming up. Do you think the town people would have given it to them? No. He says, and their father was a humble person. He was a righteous man. But that righteousness was only known by Allah. So Allah told me to do this. Now, the Prophet says in the narration, I wish Musa was able to be patient more so we can know what was all this wisdom there to get out of it. But truly the reality of it is that prophets cannot see wrong, dhulm, happening. On the surface, something looking wrong and then just not say anything. It's not in their spirit. It's not how they were built. This is why the Prophet would get so sad walking past Sumayya radiallahu ta'ala anha. He would get so sad because he couldn't do anything, but he would speak out against it. He didn't have the ability to physically do anything, but he will say that this is wrong. He will call out to the Quraysh and say that it's wrong. You can pour guts on me while I'm praying all day, but you don't do that to other people. That is always where the Prophet would draw the line. So we have that Yaqub alayhi salam is teaching us what the prophets were like. But then he also adds something very important, because you can really be on that side of the spectrum of like, you've done something wrong to somebody, you've done something wrong to me, I will never forgive you. But he doesn't say like, I'm forgiving. He says, إِنَّهُ هُوَ الْغَفُورُ الرَّحِيمُ, that indeed he, meaning Allah, is the one who's ever so forgiving, and somebody can be forgiving and not merciful. Someone can forgive you of something, but make you live it every day. They can forgive you of something, but every time they see you, you're like, you know that this person's still holding on to something. So, هُوَ الْغَفُورُ الرَّحِيمُ. It is only with Allah that we have the ability to one day feel bad about something we've done and the next day forget that it happened. That is through Allah's mercy. It is purely through God's kindness and His compassion. And so Yaqub alayhi salam reminds his sons that this is who Allah is. فَلَمَّا دَخَلُوا عَلَىٰ يُوسُفَ. So when they went and they're now going back and they enter to Yusuf, أَوَىٰ إِلَيْهِ أَبَوَيْهِ. Yusuf alayhi salam gets so happy that he like embraces and hugs his family. وَقَالَ دُخُلُوا مِصْرَ, and he told them, enter into Egypt. إِنْشَاءَ اللَّهُ آمِنِينَ, God willing, you'll be safe here. Like, it's all over and we're good. وَرَفَعَ أَبَوَيْهِ عَلَى الْعَرْشِ, and then he raised his parents in honor and he put them onto his throne. وَحَرُّوا لَهُ سُجَّدًا, and they all then bowed. Remember way back when at the beginning of Surah Yusuf, he said that he had a dream. And in this dream, he had a dream that the sun, the moon, and 11 stars bowed down to him. And it was like as if they were people, right? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala uses the word sajidin, using it that is in reference to like humans. Even though these are inanimate objects that we wouldn't be able to imagine what them bowing down would look like, but that's exactly what Yusuf alayhi salam saw. And his dream was so vivid. And so Yusuf alayhi salam, so then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us this understanding that they then bowed. And it's not like a prostration of worship. We wouldn't say that. Some narrations say a prostration of greeting, while others say it's like pure honor. It is a moment of just like when you're overwhelmed with recognition of how like this is just, you're just a great person. It's an honorable thing, right? Now, obviously, we don't bow like this anymore. But it was more so in that time a custom, a way of being able to show like the how you have reverence for someone. But now we only show that type of reverence for Allah. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Yusuf alayhi salam then said, وَقَالَ يَا أَبَتِي, O my beloved father, هَذَا تَعْوِيلُ رُؤْيَايَ, that this is the explanation of my dream. But can you imagine? Like a child. Yusuf alayhi salam is like a grown adult at this point. He has been distributing the food for people. He's been interpreting dreams. The man's been to prison. He's had all these things. But his father comes and he calls him my beloved father. And he's been interpreting everyone's dream. And now his dream makes sense. He's been interpreting every single person's, the king's dream. The complicated 7 fat cows, 7 skinny cows, 7 withered corn, 7 non-withered corn. You guys didn't even keep up with the numbers, okay? All of those. That even the other dream interpreters are like, this is too confusing. We don't even want to be bothered with it. All of that, he knows it. And then it gets to his dream. And it is just now, as the dream comes true, that he's like, oh, this is what it was. هذا تعويل رؤياي من قبل, that I had way back when. قد جعلها ربي حقا, that man, my Lord has truly made it something true. Like, it's real. حقا is like reality. This is true. It's happened. وقد أحسن بي إذ أخرجني من السجن, and he was so loving to me and kind when he took me out of the prison. Now, were there things that happened in Yusuf alayhi salam's life before that? Yeah, he got to prison because his brothers. You know, his brothers put him into this well, and then he was sold by a caravan, and then he ended up in the house of the Aziz, and then he went to prison. So again, you remember I told you, Mufassirun, they ask questions I don't ask. And the question that they ask is, why didn't Yusuf alayhi salam say, Qad ahsana bi, my Lord was so gracious to me when he saved me from the well? It's a family reunion. Nothing ruins a family reunion like bringing up family trauma. There's, even if it's like against you, nothing ruins it. It's like, oh, here we go again. And then you remember what he said? La tatriba alaykum al-yawm. This is it. No drama, no water underneath the bridge. He truly meant that. That even in a moment of gratitude, where it wouldn't have even been taken the wrong way, Yusuf alayhi salam still does not mention it. Why? Because he's like, forgot about it. That is true forgiveness. That is true forgiveness. He doesn't want to embarrass them. He doesn't want them to feel bad. He doesn't want to bring down the family vibe and like everybody's hugging and kissing. They're so happy to see each other. So he says, قد أحسن بي إذ أخرجني من السجن, that he's been ever so gracious towards me when he took me out of the prison. وجاء بكم من البدو من بعدي أن نزغ الشيطان بيني وبين إخوتي. And he says, and when he brought you guys so close to me, and you guys were out there in the village, and you guys are now even closer to me after Shaitan tried to sow discord between us. Again, he doesn't blame it on the brothers. He says, "An nazara shaytan baini wa baina ikhwati." Shaitan is the one who came and he just kept doing his thing between me and my brothers. But it's in a place that he's being grateful to Allah, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave him this family. And I know everyone's family situation is different. Every single body's family situation is different. Okay? We're all sitting here at this time. We could have come from the same exact tribe. We could have come from the same family. Same exact family. And we'll have different experiences in our family. But what are we learning from Yusuf alayhi salam? You're not going to be free until you free yourself. That's the reality of it. It's actually not about what somebody else does to you. It's about how can I let it go. But Yusuf alayhi salam also is not going to give them the chance to do this to them again. Listen, he put them through it. Go back, bring Amin, do this, do that. He did. But he's not going to give them the chance to do it again. But at the same time, he's not holding on to a grudge, even if it was warranted. If Yusuf alayhi salam said, I will never forgive you guys till the day of judgment, we all would have been like, yes, because that was messed up. 30 plus years of your life is gone because of what your brothers did to you. But he did not do that. Why? Because if we want Allah to have mercy on us, and if we want Allah to forgive us, we have to forgive people. Because when you do not forgive people, you live your life for them. You live your life for them. Oh, I'm going to do this. And if they see me, they're going to feel this way. I'm going to do this and one of this. And I'm going to do that and one of that. And that person is doing what? What did I tell you guys last week? Sleeping perfectly fine at night. And you're up thinking about them. So forgiveness is not freedom of the other person. It's freedom of yourself. You say, Allah, whatever it is that that person deserves, you give it to them. But as for I'm good. I'm done. لا تتريب عليكم اليوم. At this point, I have to live my life in the way that Allah wants me to live my life. Not because I need to avenge anything. Not because this person treated me X, Y, and Z way. You can't do that. Imagine if the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam had that type of personality. Imagine. Do you know all the things that Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu ta'ala anhu said about the Muslims prior to him being Muslim? Do you not forget the way that Khalid ibn Walid was the one who was at the forefront of bringing the army in front during the Battle of Uhud? And there are him and his cavalry was the reason why Mus'ab ibn Umayr and Hamza radiallahu ta'ala anhu passed away. Do you not remember that? But do you also remember that when Khalid ibn Walid became Muslim, that the Prophet put him in charge of the military support? Why? Because khayrukum fil jahiliya, khayrukum fil Islam. That those of you who had the best types of qualities and whatever talent you had in jahiliya are those of you who have the best qualities and talent in Islam? It's all great. Forgiveness is beautiful when it's about us. But when it comes to other people, it's a whole nother ballgame. But it's also another very important character trait to build. If a person cannot build up, muster up, humble, and rebuild the ability to look past someone's fault, I'm not saying become best friends, and do something as simple as give salam, then how do we expect to stand before Allah on the Day of Judgment? That's a very important question. It's a very important question we have to ask ourselves. So Yusuf alayhi salam, he's seeing this, his family is united, and he's just so excited and happy to have everybody together. And then he says, "Inna Rabbi Latifun," that indeed my Lord is ever so gentle, subtle, gentle. All of these things happen over these years for us to end up right here. You know, it's the same thing with the story of Musa alayhi salam. All of these things happen over and over and over again. And what does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tell Musa alayhi salam? Right before he tells him, he says, go fight Fir'aun. He's transgressed. He's a terrible person. All these things. Musa alayhi salam says, I'm scared. I can't do it. And then he makes dua and Allah gives him all the things that he wants. But he says, listen, like, you are here because of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's blessing that he's bestowed upon you. إِذْ أَوْحَيْنَا إِلَىٰ أُمِّكَ مَا يُوحَىٰ. When he inspired to your mother, what he inspired to her. You didn't go down the river by yourself. Allah told your mother to put you down the river. You didn't end up being reunited with your mother by yourself. Allah inspired to your mother that she should tell your sister what she told her. And your sister got her smartness and her cleverness from Allah. Allah gave that to her. Fir'aun didn't like you because you were cute. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَأَلْقَيْتُ عَلَيْكَ مَحَبَّةً مِنِّي. I bestowed love on you. That's why. ثُمَّ جِتَّ عَلَىٰ قَدْرٍ يَا مُوسَىٰ. That's not the next ayah, but it's the ayah I want to put. ثُمَّ جِتَّ عَلَىٰ قَدْرٍ يَا مُوسَىٰ. Then you came here. Qadr, precise moment, precise time, a precise measure. You came here at this moment, at this precise time, O Moses. Your mission and message and what you're meant to accomplish is not out of nowhere. So all those things that we think happened in our life by chance, it's not by chance. Allah is just Latif. And in Allah being so gentle And so subtle, sometimes we don't put it together. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows exactly what He wants for our life and exactly how our life is going to pan out. And so Yusuf says, Inna Rabbi Latifun Lima Yasha, that my Lord is so gentle in what He intends to transpire. Innahu huwal alimul hakim. He says He's all knowledgeable, He's all aware, but also He is ever so wise. And then he says, he turns and he makes dua to Allah. And this dua is very beautiful. It is more so because we think about dua as always requesting something. But dua can also be an acknowledgement. Okay? It doesn't have to always be that you're asking for something. Why? Because dua is a conversation. And so when you have a conversation with your friends, you're not always asking for something. Sometimes you're just making a statement. So Yusuf alayhi salam is making dua, but he's not requesting anything at the beginning of this dua. He's more so acknowledging Allah. And he says, Rabbi qad ataytani min al-mulki. He says, oh my Lord, you have given me from some of the kingdom, meaning some greatness. You haven't given me everything. And he's not complaining. He's just saying, I've tasted greatness. وَعَلَّمْتَنِي مِن تَعْوِيلِ الْأَحَدِيثِ. And you've taught me how to interpret dreams. And the interesting thing is we get a little bit of talent, all of a sudden we don't know how to act. Okay? If I used to tell my brothers all the time, if I can sing, I would never shut up. Everybody would have to hear it. Okay? That's why God did not do that to me. He knew I would be arrogant. Right? We get a little bit of talent, and all of a sudden it's like, yeah, I got it out the mud on my own. Did this by myself. Nobody helped me. Nobody this. But look at Yusuf alayhi salam. He has like such an incredible talent. And he says, "Allamtani min ta'wil al-hadith." You taught me how to interpret dreams. And then he says, "Fatir as-samawati wal-ard." That you're the originator of the heavens and the earth. Fatir, originator, but more so you fashioned it. You gave it everything. All of the beauty in the heavens and the earth, Ya Allah, you gave it to them. Anta wali, and you are my protector. Fi dunya wal akhirah, in this world and the hereafter. And he's seen it. He's seen how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protected him against his brothers. He's seen how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protected him in the well. He's seen how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protected him in the home of the Aziz. He's seen how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protected him in the prison. And even getting out of prison and being in this position, he's seen how Allah still protects him. So he says, "Anta waliyyi fid dunya wal akhirah," that you are my protector in this world and in the hereafter. Tawaffani muslima. And then he made his request. He says, "Cause me to die as someone who has submitted to you." Because it does not matter. It does not matter in the least bit what we have in this world. We can have $1 million. We can have the highest position in the world. We can have the best job. But so long as we don't pass away having submitted to Allah, then we have nothing. And that is truly the reality of it. Because everything of dunya is temporary. It's temporary. Money, easy come, easy go. People, easy come, easy go. But the only thing that is everlasting, that will be with you forever, Al-Hayyu Al-Qayyum, that is Allah. That is Allah. So what does Yusuf alayhi salam say? He said, Tawaffani Musliman. Cause me to die as someone who has submitted to you. Wa Al-Hiqani Bis-Salihin. And enter me, allow me to be with those who are righteous. When the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was passing away, we were just talking about this in class earlier today, he kept repeating one last thing on his tongue. He kept saying, إِلَى الرَّفِيقِ الْعَلَى. Now what's interesting is right before the Prophet was passing, there's always a spark of energy that people get. Spark of energy. Not always, but sometimes. And people tend to think like, oh, this person's feeling better. And usually there's some people then said they passed away shortly after. Prophet ﷺ had a spark of energy. He addressed the community. And when he addressed the community, he says, that Allah has given his servant a choice. And the community thinks, halakha time. Great. Either to stay with people or to go with Allah. And his servant has chose to go with Allah. Because Prophet was done. His job had been complete. But everyone is so blinded by the fact that the Prophet looks like he's feeling better, that they're not actually truly hearing the words that the Prophet was saying. Except for one person. And that was Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala. And Abu Bakr Siddiq is standing in the back of the masjid. And he's sobbing. And he's crying. Because he knows what this means. And the Prophet looked at him and he said, "Ala rislika ya Abu Bakr." You gotta get it together. You gotta be strong. Why? Because who's gonna be the next Khalifa? It's Abu Bakr. So now the Prophet is on his deathbed. And his head is on Aisha. And Aisha's brother comes inside the room, Abdullah. And he tells him, he points at his shirt. He has a miswak. And he takes the miswak. Aisha says, "Do you want that?" He's like, "Yeah." She takes the miswak. She wets it. She gives it to the Prophet ﷺ. He puts it in his mouth to clean his mouth. And he says, "Ila rafiq al-ala, ila rafiq al-ala, ila rafiq al-ala." You know what that means? It means to be in the highest companionship. To be amongst people who are righteous. And that's what it means to have conviction that though I'm not perfect, but I make effort and I put in that time and I try to be submissive to God, then I know that Allah will give me a good place. That's what it means. So he's constantly saying that. And then Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, she says, "I didn't hear anything. And I looked over and I thought that he was still fine. Until the miswak fell out of his hand. And I realized he passed in that moment." And then she laid him down. And she called the guys into the room. And she said he had passed away. But the only person that didn't lose their mind, was Abu Bakr Siddiq. He comes, he sees Aman in the streets carrying his sword. Everybody's going crazy. Before he even makes an announcement in the masjid, he goes to the Prophet ﷺ. He pulls the shroud from the Prophet ﷺ, the blanket from the Prophet ﷺ's face. And he says, "Ya Rasulullah, you were ever so beautiful in life, but you're even more beautiful in death." He gives him a kiss on the forehead and he covers it up, covers him up. He goes to the masjid. He tells Bilal, "Call the adhan." Bilal radiallahu ta'ala anhu says, "I can't do it." He said, "Well, you're going to do it. Call the adhan." He calls the adhan. Everybody comes to the masjid expecting to see the Prophet ﷺ because that's what it was like. And Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala anhu gets up there and he says that whoever used to worship Muhammad, Muhammad has died. He's died. And he's a prophet. قَدْ خَلَقْ مِنْ قَبْلِ. Many prophets came before and they died before too. But if you worship Allah, then know that Allah is Al-Hayyu Al-Qayyum. Who is constant in your life? Allah. If you worship Allah, know that Allah is the one who never dies. He will always be there. When the prophets were ready to go, they did their job. It didn't matter how much they loved you and I. They loved Allah more. It didn't matter how much the Prophet ﷺ cared for Aisha. Remember when that companion came to him? "Who do you love the most?" He says, "Aisha." He said, "Okay, I get it, that's your wife." What about after that? He says, "Abuha," her father. He's like, "Okay, friend." So after that, he's like, "Omar." He's like, after that, then the companion got embarrassed. He's like, "I should probably stop asking." But it did not matter how much the Prophet ﷺ loved Aisha. When it came time to be with Allah, where did he choose? To be with Allah. So what we learn here, we didn't finish the surah. There's a lot of haters out there. I'm going to find y'all, okay? But what we learn here is that where your loyalty lies is how you die. Where your loyalty lies is how you die. If your loyalty is to Allah, then you will die ready to meet Allah. And the one who's ready to meet Allah, Allah is ready to meet that person. Allah loves to meet that person. If your loyalty is not with Allah, then I'll ask Allah to protect us from going out, from dying before that moment. Ask Allah to give us the resolve, to give us the ability to submit to Him before we die. Because what's on the other side of that, we don't even want to see it. We don't even want to feel it. We want to be the ones that on our deathbed, we say, Allah, I'm ready. Take me right now. We want to be the ones that are prepared to meet our Creator. Prepared is the word, though. You will not be prepared if you don't make the preparation. You won't be there unless you take the steps that you need to take. So I pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allows us to benefit from everything that we heard here today. I pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgives us of our shortcomings. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allows us to gather in the gathering much better than this. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allows us to drink from the blessed hands of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allows us to be people who are on the right side of history. I pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgives us of all of the sins and the wrongs that we've done. And that our brothers and sisters around the world who are facing oppression and difficulty and hardship, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ease them of their difficulty and hardship. Subhanakallahumma bihamdika, nashhadu an la ilaha illa anta, nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk, jazakallahu khairan, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.